hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and if you have a car problem or a car question, or if you want to argue about oil or spark plugs, we're game for any of that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have four people in the studio. We have Tom Blackwell from 40th Street in Greenway. Him and I have been friends for a very long time. We met in jail. And
I think we should apologize up front for what's going to happen today, because they are brothers from a different mother. And so you have two for one today. Watch out.
Yeah. Well, that's my wife, Renee. And Polly is here from Tom's side of the family. Polly, good morning.
Good morning.
And yeah, we are different brothers. We are brothers from different mothers. We've known one another for 20 years or more. 25 years.
Up to 25 years, yeah.
And you built your facility. Or you moved into that facility?
July of 95.
Okay, a year after us.
We 23 went, years.
Yeah, January of 24 is when we did. So we've been friends like that. And our shops mimic one another as well with respect to the block on the outside and stuff like that. So you get two brains for the price of one, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair. Tom is located at I-17 in Deer Valley. He's a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop, and he's served the Deer Valley and North Phoenix area since 1983, and I think I've known Tom since the early 80s. So whatever you need, Tom is probably going to have it. And if you have a BMW, he has a BMW master technician. So I get that call a lot, is where can I take my Beamer? And I tell folks, Action Auto Repair is a great place. So if you want to understand what they're doing, and if you want to make sure that you can see and talk to the guy that's going to work on your car or the service rider, then Action Auto Repair at I-17 in Deer Valley. It's a good idea to have an oil change and just see how well you fit. And we've got a caller already. That we used to have a doorbell, but the people on the radio would complain that it makes their dogs bark.
Really?
Exactly.
Seriously.
Hey, Gil, give us the door. Do you still have the doorbell, Gil?
I don't have the doorbell handy, no.
No, it's okay, and it's no problem. So anyway, now I want to tell you something else. You'll hear this. Okay, that's the BS bell for the studio. So if anybody is BS and then they reach over and do that, okay?
How are we going to do the show with the bell ringing?
Yeah, that's going to be tough. All right, Gil, who we got first?
Greg is your first caller.
Greg, good morning to you. How can we help you?
I just wanted to give you an attaboy for your shop. I've been going to this shop for years, Thunderbird Auto. I had it in for service, you know, flushes, 100,000 miles, and tune-up, replace the plugs. And then when I brought it home, I had a clunk. So whether it was me or whatever, I brought it in. Tom said, come in after lunch, and they had the tech drive with me, and I went over a little speed bump that was around the corner. He heard the clunk. They put it up on the lift. They checked it out. They couldn't find anything wrong, and it was no charge.
Okay. Yeah, that's – Tom has been around since Jesus was a baby, like
yes,
the rest of us. And he you'll notice he doesn't have any gray hair because he shaves it off, but the rest of us still have – we don't call it – we don't call it gray. We call it platinum.
That's right.
Or chrome, one or the other, platinum or chrome. But, no, Tom is a good guy, and you're absolutely right. Thank you very much for that, Greg. Thank you very much. Anyway, 602-508-0960, we're not necessarily soliciting attaboys, but we'll take them when the shops do a really good job. And speaking of shops doing a really good job, 602-508-0960. Okay, so one of my shops, gets an estimate from another shop, and it's an overheat situation. So they write down, replace engine assembly, replace radiator, replace coolant reservoir, and clean the oil out from inside the tank. We replace the heater hoses with new ones, recommended with engine replacement. Evacuate and recharge air conditioning, that's part of the engine swap.
Engine swap.
Okay. And then service manager notes, miscellaneous for any part. There'll be some miscellaneous on the parts. So it's $7,400.
For our overheat problem.
Right. Now, it is true that if they overheat it till the motor's bright red and you can light your cigarette off of it, then usually it toasts the motor. Right?
Right.
Okay, head gaskets, too.
Rings.
Yep, cylinder
collapsed
walls.
Collapsed pistons, collapsed skirts on the pistons.
All that stuff, right. Mm-hmm. So they take it to another shop, happens to be one of mine. And the shop says, I think the shop did the repair for $368. They said it was an unusual situation because there was oil in the cooling system, but what was the bad part about the oil in the cooling system was it was on the back side of the radiator cap, on the back side of the sealing surface.
Uh-huh.
And why would there be oil on the back side of the sealing surface of the radiator cap? And folks don't really understand that, but if you think about it, that sealing surface is there to contain the cooling system.
Correct.
So how did we get oil on the other side?
If that seal is bad, if you have oil on the top of the cap, right?
Okay, but they tested the cap, and the cap is fine, and the neck is good. So it's a situation where that and a whole lot of other things, just they felt uncomfortable. So they flushed the cooling system. They did replace the radiator. It had no pressure loss whatsoever. They used the same radiator cap. They found oil in the reservoir and in the cap behind the seal. So they pressurized it again and again. They drove the heck out of it, and there was no oil transfer into the cooling system. There was no oil transfer into the overflow jug. And as a matter of fact, once they flushed it, there was no oil at all. So there's no white foamy oil, which would be water into the cooling or into the oil system.
So did somebody fill the radiator with
oil? That's
they checked the oil. They checked the oil in the radiator?
Well, I don't know. You can draw your own conclusions, but I thought it was kind of interesting that they said that the spring part above the sealing surface was where the oil was. It's almost as if they filled it up with oil, and then they stuck the cap in, and the oil curled around the sealing surface to the
right,
backside.
Right, right. As the water expanded, as the oil expanded, and pushed it up into the overflow.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they drove the heck out of it. Then they gave it back to the customer, and the customer drove the heck out of it. And so far, it's been almost a month now. Everything's fine. So the customer went from $7,400 estimate for a new engine. And by the way, this is a 99 Ford Mustang with 131,000 miles on it.
So as you were talking about this, and maybe the shop that did the estimate on it or the diagnosis on it never answered the question, why did it happen?
Well,
in the first place, what was the overheating problem in the first place?
Okay, fair enough. But I think the estimate tells us that replace the radiator. Now, it's true, the radiator, you'll agree, the radiator could have been the after effect or the cause of an overheat,
mm-hmm.
right? So it could have had an overheat, and then, but what was interesting is in all of the things that they were going to do, there's no thermostat. So I'm going to draw the conclusion and give them the benefit of the doubt that it's a radiator. Inspected vehicle found the bypass hose failed. So that's what that was. And the vehicle was seriously overheated. It appears to have been driven for an extended period of time, causing internal engine damage. This thing starts and runs just fine. There's no sign of consumption of oil,
uh-huh.
head gaskets blown, or we've got an oil a transfer of coolant into the oil system. So continuing on. Oil is present in the cooling system, no oil present on the dipstick. Coolant hoses are swollen due to oil contamination of allowing the engine, oiling system, and the coolants to mix. Now, the second shop just put a radiator in it and put a bypass hose on it and put it on the road. So all of these things the shop said didn't pan out.
Have you heard, maybe nobody's heard of the term shotgun repair.
That's one viable option. Mm-hmm. A shotgun repair is he sees a bypass hose and he says, okay, well, this motor's toast, the radiator needs to be replaced, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about, a shotgun repair?
Well, it's shotgun repair because, well, we're not really sure. We're just going to do it all.
Fair enough.
That's a little bit expensive for,
for the shotgun. They're not sure. They're just saying, okay, well, we don't really know positively what's going to happen.
Yeah,
we're going to put it all in. Now, given the shop the benefit of saying if it did need a motor, those are all viable things you'd want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the symptoms?
That was the first. That was when I asked, what was the cause?
Yeah.
When you went in, did somebody look at it and say, well, another shop or another venue or whatever it is, pulled the cap off, said there's oil in the water. And then they came in.
Okay.
So the process of why they came in.
All right. But if we got oil going from the pressurized oil system into the pressurized cooling system, there ain't going to be no fix.
Well, as you were talking, and I'm thinking, that Mustang did not have an oil cooler, most likely, that went into the radiator, such as you would find on a late model Ford, Dodge, Chevy.
Fair enough. But if we didn't replace the oil cooler and we drove it for lots and lots of miles and we didn't have any oil in the system, the question would be is where's the oil come from? And right now, no one knows.
Correct.
But it's shady.
Right.
Yeah. It's shady.
Well, and usually when you see a bad engine come in, the car won't even run.
Well, and if it does, it sounds like it's clattering.
Right.
And it,
he said
it had no oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
No oil in the dipstick. Yeah. So assumption.
Right.
Assumption.
Yeah.
Well, and the only other thing is the big, what's it called? The big dinosaur in the room? What do they call that?
Elephant.
Oh, the white elephant.
Elephant. The elephant in the room is business is slow for this shop. And this person looked like an easy mark of the old days in the gas station.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the elephant.
And good for him for getting a second opinion.
Well, look at that. You could have towed that thing in Albuquerque and got it fixed for $366 and still come in significantly less than $7,400.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Folks, get another opinion. Who we got on the phone, Gil?
That would be Robert.
Robert, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. On this rainy morning, we need it.
Yeah.
Question I have, 2002 Ford Escape, 6-cylinder, 210,000 miles, always starts on the first turn of the key. Now it's the third turn.
I took
the airflow off, and I sprayed in the carburetor cleaner inside the butterfly to clean that, took all the carbon away. It started right off the first turn. Now it's right back to three turns.
Okay.
Any idea?
Well, so let me get this straight. You're cranking it over, and it doesn't start, and then you're cranking it over, and it doesn't start, and then on the third time, it starts.
Yes. A quick crank, quick turn. Never touch a gas pedal since I've had the car on the start.
Okay. Well, it's not going to make any difference if you touch the gas pedal. And don't talk off the air like that, or I'll come over there and slap you. All right.
You mean you heard that?
Yeah,
you felt it.
No. I'm getting more symptoms here because this is what we're supposed to do over
exactly,
the front
okay.
counter. And you and I both know what's wrong with this.
Yes.
Okay. We both know that. So, and here's what we're thinking about, Robert. It doesn't make any difference if you crank it a long time or if it's a short time. If it's the third time it hits, then I want you to try this, and this will verify that. I hate, pains me to say this, Tom is right.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't hear what he said.
It was a mouthing thing.
It was a mouthing thing. He said, fuel pressure.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Okay, Robert, this is what you do. Turn the key to the on position, count to three, not to the crank position. Turn it off, turn it on. One, two, three. Turn it off, turn it on. The third time, it'll start right up. Now, what's going on is overnight, you're losing fuel pressure. And every time you turn the key to the on position, the computer will turn on the fuel pump for about 3 seconds. And when it does that, it's hoping it's going to pressurize the whole cooling system, or the fuel system, until 30 pounds. Let's just throw 30 pounds
right out
there. So by turning it on three times, that's what you're doing is you're building fuel pressure. Boom, it hits the third time. Now, we know already that you didn't fix nothing with your cleaning of the throttle blades. It's okay to do that, but that's not going to – that's an idle issue. Not a tough start. So if we're right and you cycle the key on one, two, and the third time it starts, boom, hits, then give me one fault and then I'll do one.
Fuel pressure regulator.
Fuel pressure regulator.
What? The fuel pressure regulator.
Okay. Fuel pump.
Fuel pump.
Okay, third one. I got him on this one.
He's got me on this one because I was stuck at two today.
Okay, all right. How about a leaking fuel injector? And that would cause a loss of fuel.
All right. Well, it would act just like the fuel pressure going back through the pressure regulator.
You're right. No, I agree. The fuel pressure regulator. But
the only problem, the only thing I have about this is, if there was enough fuel going into that one cylinder, it would run rough for just a second, and then bang, it's going to clean the cylinder out. So
they usually say that. if you got a fuel injector or a fuel pressure regulator, they're going to say when it starts up, it might blow black smoke, it might smell a little rich, that good. Kind of stuff. But you said fuel pump, which covers the check valve and the fuel pump anyway.
Right.
So that's what we think, Robert. Good luck. I think we're going to be right. Here's the bad
news. One quick question. As soon as I turn it off, it'll do it right away again. When I go to restart it, it'll still the third term.
We need to run a fuel pressure test on it overnight. So okay. That's what
it'll do. But it'll do it right away, Robert.
Okay. Will do. Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And thank you very much. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We're going to take a break for about 3 minutes, and we're going to come back right after this.
The mechanic raised up from under
Welcome
my
Welcome back,
hood,
everybody. Shook his head, 22 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Tom Blackwell sitting here next to me. Tom is at 40th Street and Greenway. He learned how to fix cars from me a couple of years ago.
I didn't know anything until I saw Mark.
Yeah.
I felt like he was my hero.
Yeah, and we have been compared to different brothers of different mothers, and that's okay with
sharing
us.
Sharing the same brain. And put that in there.
Yeah, sharing the same brain. And the good bad and the good good.
And the good good.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't care. Speaking of good, though, Auto Dynamics is in Sun City. He's been around since 1982. We know both generations of the Auto Dynamics. We know Chuck, who started it, and then Derek, his son, who's running it now. Very similar to us, our kids kind of taking control of the business and letting you play golf and letting me do nothing. Anyway, Automotive Dynamics is on Grand Avenue. It's just west of 99th Avenue, been around a long time, and it's one of the very biggest and largest and most trusted complete automotive services in the Sun City area. So if you don't have a repair shop, like I say before, is try them for an oil change and see how they treat you. Automotive Dynamics. Ted, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, I have a 1969 Avanti 2 with 70,000 miles on it. And it came from the factory with a Corvette 350 with a Rochester 4-barrel. And strange situation. I take it out once a week just to get it all warmed up and get the juices flowing and charge the battery. And I bring it back in, put it in the garage. And half the time, I'll go in the next day and the garage is just overwhelming with gasoline fumes, odor. And the other half of the time after I do that, take the car out, nothing.
Okay. Tom?
When you come in and it sits for a day and has the same smell issue and or you go out 4 days later, 5 days later, whatever it is, after this fuel smell comes into play, does it have a long crank or a crank time that is not the same as the previous time it was driven when there was no smell?
Well, sitting a week, it always has, I always have to crank it three or four times to get fuel to the carburetor.
Okay. Does it have any drivability concerns?
Drives like a banshee. It drives beautifully.
What I was looking at or what I was going to recommend is open the hood, let it sit, and go out there the next day and or some period of time shorter than a week and see if there's any fuel that's sitting on the intake manifold just right under either the left or the right side of the carburetor, passenger or driver's side. The other thing that has been an issue that I've seen and can create this problem, that carburetor had a fuel filter in it. There's a paper filter, and then there's a
screen
filter, but it was that metal filter, and it escapes me right now. But that original GM type fuel filter, or some replacement fuel filters, the paper one has a check valve in it. It's a little rubber, very very limber valve, we'll call it, and that will allow the fuel not to come back out of the carburetor.
Well,
and draw it down. Now, I've very rarely seen that, but that's one of the things I would come up with.
Okay, well, the little plastic gasket is like a donut or like a frisbee on one end of the filter, and you can see inside of it, and you can see the rubber gasket where the rest of them are. But what about the main well leaking inside? So if he doesn't if he doesn't leak outside externally, then he's leaking inside. But he says you have to crank it a long time. What we need to know is when you crank it a long time, are you throttling it using the accelerator pump to prime the engine? So what's the answer to that, Ted?
If I were to go out in the garage right now, I'd go in, I'd hit the accelerator three times, turn the key, hit it three times, hit turn the key, hit it three times, turn the key, and it starts.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, he's using the accelerator pump, so it ain't leaking out of the carburetor.
Right.
All right. And second, he's setting the choke. I don't know. You don't have to set the choke three times. The first time, you're going to set the choke, but each subsequent time, he's priming the carburetor.
Mm-hmm.
So that almost eliminates a carburetor, because he doesn't say anything about running black smoke out of the back,
mm-hmm.
because it's running rich. But the smell could, like, be like you said, we could still be draining the bowl down on the external side. So, Ted, I agree with him. Is just pull the air cleaner off of it, let it sit for however long you know it's going to have a problem. The smell gets bad, and the question is there any evidence of gas on top of the intake manifold? That's the first place to start.
Especially with that raw fuel smell.
And what about, okay,
half the time I don't get the odor.
Okay, but the problem with that is, Ted, is that we're going to answer that question after we find the problem on the car. We don't want to chase our tail. So how about a fuel pump? If
fuel
he doesn't have the check valve.
Fuel pump could be leaking. Also, depending on the weather,
mm-hmm.
on an additional issue to the fuel smell, other than the start problem, a lot of fuel pressure building up inside the fuel tank, fuel cap leaking.
Okay. He could also have an internal leak on the fuel pump where we're pumping oil or gas into the engine, and that would show a high level. But don't smell like gas because you're
yeah, exactly. Over. That wouldn't, yeah. In my opinion, be.
So anyway, if that's to happen, then the fuel pump's on the right front. Well, as you face the engine, it's on the left front of the engine. So look down there and see if there's any sign of gasoline. Anyway, we got to run, Ted, but thank you very much. 69 Avanti, 70,000 miles. That's just
nice.
That's a really nice one. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, both of us have platinum hair, chrome hair. And
I dyed mine this morning.
Did you? Okay,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry.
It looks nice, doesn't it?
I didn't notice.
I know you don't like red, but I'm sorry, Renee does.
Red?
Red. Well, it's like my wife. She's
okay.
Red hair. We're sharing
say,
this. We're sharing. You know,
me?
We get a deal on hair dye. Did you know that?
Together?
Yeah, but I don't ever get my, because I have half as much hair, I never get a half price haircut.
Yeah.
That bothers me. Yeah. But it always has.
You know, I can tell you right now, in spite of the fact that you're here on the radio, you wouldn't be if you had red hair. I can tell you that much right now.
But nobody can see that.
But that's true.
It's like a TV, you know,
but
TV
I can't trust you to do anything. If you're going to dye your head red as a man, then we got a problem. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Tom Blackwell and Mark Salem right here at your service. Everybody, 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and sitting here with me is Tom Blackwell, owner of Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street and Greenway. You work on pretty much motorhomes all the way down to vintage cars.
Motorhomes, brakes, dash air, all those kinds of things in the motorhome.
Yeah.
We do just regular automotive work. We do a lot of vintage car stuff, you know, anywhere from the odd numbers, mm-hmm. all the way up. And a lot of the popular cars are, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, vintage Camaros, whatever it happens to be. And we'll do just regular service work. You know, if you want an oil change, bring it in, hang out, have a cup of coffee, have fun. Or engine conversion, put an LS in a Toyota Land Cruiser. We've done a couple of those this year.
He's digging a hole here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's digging a big hole.
He's going to be busier than he already
well,
is.
Yeah. And somebody's going to come in and want a jet engine installed in their Volkswagen because he can put an LS6 in a Volvo. You know what I mean?
Now, honestly, a friend of mine does Huey helicopters.
Yeah.
Carl Renz.
Yeah, and?
We are going to take a Huey motor and put it in a car.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
well,
you're
call
crazy.
Me on that one.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I don't know where I'm going to put the blades at.
Polly, yeah. Take out a big insurance policy on him. You'll be really grateful. All righty, let me talk about Thompson's Auto Repair. He's in Mesa. He's the only shop in Mesa that I really suggest that you patronize because he's been around since 1970. Brian and Thelma own and operate Thompson's Auto Repair. All you have to do is meet one of them to understand why I'm so excited that they're part of our best car repair shop group. They have ASE certified technicians. They know what to do. They know how to treat you. They're not going to sell you something you don't need. And they're on Main Street just east of Stapley. Main Street just east of Stapley. And the Thompson's Auto Repair, it comes from a marriage of two families, Thompson's and Vivian. and they both have a history that goes back to the 50s and the 60s in Mesa. Mm-hmm. So those two, Brian and Thelma, come from two families that were big. And as a matter of fact, Ken Vivian, I worked for him, as you well know, in 1968 when I was 10 years old. So was that 10 years old?
Not quite.
Okay. Anyway, no. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. That's where it's at, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I want to read something to you about State Farm. Now, this is in the newspaper, okay? Uh-huh. A long time ago, State Farm had a lawsuit. And they were facing a $10 billion.
Billion with a B.
B.
Wow.
Billion dollar. I'll read it to you. They settled this case not too far ago for $250 million, a quarter of a billion. This is all about aftermarket parts versus OEM parts in the body shop arena. Okay?
Okay.
It's all about that. So they talk about that. The appellate court is a consumer fraud case, class action, that claimed the insurer refused to pay for OEM parts from Chevrolet, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, all that stuff.
So the consumer.
The State Farm refused to pay for parts from the dealers.
Okay.
Now, you and I both know a long time later is those parts are billed by Bendixson and Delco and Delphi and Hitachi and, uh-huh. and all that. So we already know that. But when you start talking about body parts, the body shop guys will say for sure that there's
OEM
a difference.
OEM parts, no doubt about it. Thickness of the metal, structurally, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, go on.
Everything. So State Farm, way a long time ago, now this goes back to the early 2000s. Way long time ago, State Farm says, we're not going to do it. We want you to buy the cheap body shop, or the cheap body parts. And there is a difference, not like the mechanical side.
Right, right.
So they said no. Well, there's a consumer fraud class action suit that claimed you can't do that.
2 minutes.
You can't determine what our parts are. So they sued him. So fast forward a long time ago in 2002, 2004, and this happened in Illinois, there was a judge vote coming up. They put a lot of money behind this one judge. A lot of money behind $10 million.
State Farm
for
did.
A judge.
Yeah, State Farm did.
Okay.
For the judge to win. Now, he was going to be on the court that was going to decide the outcome of
the
this
outcome,
case because it had been appealed. So at the end of the day, and this was the Alliance of Automotive Service Providers of New Jersey was the one that was involved in this.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, at that particular time, they ended up winning at the end of the deal, $250 million. That was what they were done. Then they were going to appeal it. So they lost $250 million, then they appealed it, then they appealed it, and then they appealed it. So just recently they settled for $250 million because they didn't want to go through anything more. So they went from a billion to a million. But the biggest thing is they settled because this judge was going to have to testify about who funded his campaign and how he voted on the...
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So, and an intermediate appellate court affirmed the $1.6 billion judgment against the company originally awarded in 1999. This went on a long time. They petitioned the Supreme Court in 2003, and they said... And the case remained in the Supreme Court in Illinois... throughout the 2004 election, which turned out to be the most expensive state judicial race in the United States history, where Republican Kramer or something like that was against Democrat Meg. The two spent nearly $10 million to get that judgeship. And, of course, the one that State Farm was hooked up with actually won.
Uh-huh.
So the end of the day, State Farm has agreed to an 11th-hour $250 million settlement to a racketeering case in the state of Illinois. And that alleges the insurance company paid big money to install a state Supreme Court justice in Illinois in an effort to overturn what could have been a $1 billion judgment against them in an earlier class action suit.
Wow.
Now,
incredible.
I would suggest that most people, and I'm going to take a break here in just a second, most people ask the people in the insurance industry who you have as your insurance company. Now, you know, and you...
Yeah, insurance companies insure each other.
Okay, well, not only that is, but when people ask me what insurance companies, where the tie goes to the runner, okay, the insurance company is going to a little favor their insured. In my opinion, Geico, Liberty Mutual... Farm Bureau, and USAA.
Uh-huh.
Those are the four companies I like to work for, because if I say to them, I don't want to be on your side on this case, they'll usually settle it. So they just want some independent mechanical guy to look over the situation,
right,
give them an answer, and then they go, okay, well, that's what we needed. We needed a definitive answer from some neutral bozo like me.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones. Geico, USAA, Farm Bureau, and Liberty Mutual are the four that I like.
And Geico has done a great job, at least, of those four.
Yeah.
Not at least. Of those four, they've really come through.
And
easy to deal with.
And Farm Bureau the same way. Farm Bureau is the same way. They've come mm-hmm. through for us, mm-hmm. Like I say, the tie goes to the runner. It's not that; it's just a marginal thing. It's a 49-51. Those companies usually, you know, they'll usually take care of the customer.
They'll 51 to the customer.
But if it's a 90-10, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Gil is snoring. I can hear him in the background. Give me a snore, Renee. There you go. But you have to wake him up, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're going to go to 2 hours here, so we're going to go till midnight. Tom Blackwell from Blackwell Auto. Huh?
Not midnight.
Did
just
I say
till
that?
12. Yeah, you did.
12 noon.
Yeah, there
okay,
you go.
Sorry. Yeah, folks, this is my life.
Lost in space.
Yeah.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
This is my life. Okay.
I'm turning the oxygen down in the room because I want to see a lot of fun here.
I can say I'm hungry. She says, no, you're not.
I got to keep track of you.
Yeah, yes, dear.
Yeah. So Kurtz Automotive. Kurtz was here last week.
Okay.
We had a ball. He brought Eric and Jeff with him. And I mean to tell you, the four of us, we had a great time. Nevertheless, he is a good guy. He's bailed me out of a lot of tough car situations where the person lives up near Bell and I-17, they needed a lot of help. I remember specifically a lady being told that one or two other shops said she needed a motor. I said, take it to Kurtz, let him take a look at it. She's been a customer ever since. He put an oil pressure switch on it,
uh-huh.
and it fixed it. And I think the bill was $100 or $130. I don't remember, but she was ecstatic. So if you're up near I-17 in Bell, Kurtz has been open since 1987. Kurtz a master, Jeff's a master, and Eric's a master. They work on domestic and import cars, both gas and diesel. And they're really good guys. So you can count on the fact that they're going to treat you right, treat you fair. At Kurtz, I-17 and Bell, on the northeast corner of I-17 and Bell. So we talked about State Farm. Have we got anybody on the phone, Gil? 602-508-0960?
Oh, you woke me up, Mark. No,
sorry.
Stop snoring.
Yeah. So, nevertheless, if you've got a car question, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and you're welcome to call us. We've got five lines open, and Gil is wide awake. When it comes to repairing cars, I think you'll agree we got to have some communication with the customer.
Lots of communication.
And we're going to ask lots of questions.
What, where, why, when, and how, that's my words.
And if you come in and say, my car's overheating, that's really not good enough for us.
Is it the gauge? Is it leaking water? Is it?
Is there steam coming from
steam
the hood?
Steam coming out of there.
Are you constantly adding water? Do you see water on the ground? What? I'm going to go out on a limb, but I don't really care. I'd much rather have
don't
a
fall
female.
Don't fall off the line.
I don't care about that. I'd much rather have a female in front of me.
Yeah.
Because they'll tell me about the symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's going to tell me how to fix his car.
Uh-huh.
He's always going to, hey, put a fuel pump in it. No. I need to know why.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because if we're going to work off your...
Well, because somebody said it.
Yeah. Or YouTube University.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
God almighty.
I saw the check engine light test on YouTube, and this is what it is, and I want this X replaced.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. We had a lady come in this week, and she said, I need to have my car in. And Andy said, okay, what are we looking for? And mm-hmm. she said, oh, just tell him to drive it. And Andy said, well, no, what are we looking for? Oh, just tell the mechanic to drive it. They'll know. And Andy said, no.
Is it
a tire? Is it a noise? Is it, oh, just drive it, they'll know. And she said, no, we really need to know what we're looking at because your noise and our noise might not be the same or whatever the problem is. And finally she did tell Andy, but it was like pulling teeth.
Uh-huh.
And that's unusual.
Very unusual. Because you can get the women to cluck in the lobby.
Right.
You know, you can get them to mimic the noise.
You know, when somebody comes in and has a noise, I'll say, you know, does it sound like a BB in a tin can? Or a marble in a coffee cup? Does it have a thump? Does a marble in a coffee cup bang fast and hard? Does the BB, like a piece, like a tinny piece of metal, like your cookie sheet banging on the inside of your oven or whatever it happens to?
Right.
You know, try to tape and separate them a little bit.
Well, yeah. Not only
give
that.
Us a lot of you got to get a lot of information. A lot of information, a lot of words is not enough a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, and Tom is actually talking with firsthand knowledge because it's been his brain has been compared to BBs and marbles. But let's go to the phones.
You know what? I opened myself up on that one.
I got it.
Sorry.
I got it.
No.
BBs and marbles. Remember that. Tom Blackwell, BBs and marbles.
Is that where Click and Clack came from?
All righty. Hey, we got a caller. Ted. Gil, who's
Ted
the
was
caller?
The last guy.
It's Cusser.
Oh, Cusser, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I do have two topics, two entirely different vehicles, if you can handle that.
As long as you're quick, okay? Go right ahead.
Okay. First of all, my panties are all wadded up. I'm in an uproar. My air conditioning on my 2004 Frontier locked up going to San Diego a couple weeks ago. So I bought a compressor and I bought a condenser for it. And I'm all wadded up because those do not come with O-rings anymore. You have to get the O-rings separately. So I'm kind of mad about that.
Okay, let's go to the second issue. Let's go to the second issue. We'll comment on both of them.
Okay, second issue is a 2005 Yukon. A couple years ago, I actually took it to a shop, and they replaced a Y-connector heater hose and the two little connectors that go on the firewall, little plastic things, and one of them cracked, and of course, the vehicle was stranded. I had to go save it. Do you think those things are pretty sturdy? Those little, like a 3 or 4 inch little push-on connector. They're very easy to push on, but you have to have that special little green tool to get them off.
All right, Tom, take your green tool.
Are those reliable? All right,
we're going to answer questions.
You know, there's so many components to that question.
Take the second one.
The second one, yeah, that's what I'm going for. It's a connector. We see those capping all the time, out here especially in Arizona, because they're hot. That the plastic expands, contracts, and so on. So at that mileage, at that year, it's just going to be common. Are they a good part? Sure, they're a good part when they're obviously like everything when they're new. But when you get a part like that, and it gets brittle over the years, it's just one of the functions of cars that wear.
We have lots of those problems on cars.
Lots.
Across the board. We got cars out there that have really crappy parts, but we can't buy them any place other than one place. But the good news is place like, who's the company that makes replacement parts that are 10 times better than the original parts? And one of their lines is called Help. Dorman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dorman makes all kinds of stuff nobody else makes. And so you get in their catalogs and you can find it. So the idea of those clips, I'm quite sure there's something already out there that we can buy. The question about us buying it is who's making it? Is there some guy in Cleveland, Ohio that's got a little machine shop in his thing and he's selling them? And he wouldn't be around to guarantee the performance of his part?
Yeah, if we had a billet aluminum piece that you would never have to replace, mm-hmm. made on a machine and with diamond dials, mm-hmm. and we're going to sell you this part for $780 and it's never going to wear out.
Yeah. No,
that could be a hard sell.
Okay, as far as the AC compressor is concerned, they don't come with O-rings for a reason. That's extra, and that's all there is to it. It's no different than when you buy a hose. It doesn't come with clamps. When you buy a fuel pump, it doesn't come with hoses, and sometimes a float. It doesn't come with those. So you have to, I mean, that's just the luck of the draw. You're not going to get somebody to go into your transmission and replace everything, but every single part's going to cost something. The seals, the O-rings, the clutches, the sprags, the springs, everything's going to cost extra. So in our world, we don't get anything for free, right?
That's it.
I mean, we buy everything that we have to for your car. So we buy O-rings separately and stuff like that. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a car question. But getting back real quick to the people on the front counter,
uh-huh.
I can't tell you. We say all the time, just because you have an O2 sensor code tells us that problem's in Ohio. And you have to find the city, the street, and the street number. Now, percentage-wise, what portion of O2 sensor codes in your shop actually necessitate the replacement of an O2 sensor, as opposed to all the other things that can cause the O2 sensor to be the messenger.
Honestly? I'm going to lie about it. Okay. Honestly, yeah, or dishonestly, less than 10%.
And we're 25%, and I'm giving myself a little slack.
Mm-hmm.
Because plugged fuel filters, vacuum leaks,
exhaust leak, catalytic converter,
and anything that causes it to run extra rich or extra lean, anything that causes that, correct?
Anything.
And so,
intake manifold leak, mass airflow sensors.
This is give and take. You say one, I say one.
All right.
You can have one now. Fuel filter plugged up causes a lean condition.
Exactly. Okay. Plugged exhaust, like I said, on a converter. Okay. Now your turn.
Okay. A fuel pressure regulator that's leaking, making it run rich.
Run rich, yeah. Bad injector.
Okay. Making it run rich.
Correct.
Hold on just a minute. We've had some weird... Oh, we had somebody tie a 12-volt line into an O2 sensor that's supposed to talk with 0 to 1 volts.
Exactly.
And they tied a 12-volt, which makes it say, holy mackerel, we're running rich. So the computer kept trimming down the fuel till the motor wouldn't run.
Mm-hmm.
And so the computer's controlling the faucet, and it goes, oh, you're running rich. You got a lot of fuel. Shuts off the faucet. Well, this guy spent, and he owns a shop, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's a diesel shop in his defense. He spent about...
He's working on gas motors.
Now he is.
Okay.
$1,100.
Okay.
$1,100.
Uh-huh.
And Eddie found that thing within about an hour and a half, so he says, what do you want me to do? Go find out where the wire's supposed to go? And I said, nope, just run a new one. Because this is a 77 Blazer, and we're not pulling. So we ran a brand new one from the computer straight to the O2 sensor. The problem solved. We're done. And I think we charged him a little less than $5,000.
We got a caller.
All right, we got a caller. Who's that, Gil?
Dee Dee.
Dee Dee, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Morning. I have a tire question.
Okay.
I have a little throat problem here. I have a 1995 Honda Accord.
Okay.
And it has four Marshall tires. And the left front tire has some dry rot. So my question is, should I replace it ASAP? And if so, can you recommend a tire store in the West Valley?
Well, S&S Tire is in the West Valley. That's one I recommend on a regular basis. You can go into S&S Tire and say to them, I want a price for your good, better, best tires.
Okay.
Okay?
Good,
that's right. Give me a price, and how much do I write before I even – what's my check for? As far as your – let me tell you a real quick story. The other day I took a big truck. We have a big semi, and I'm going to haul some farm equipment up north. So Alan, my son, says, Dad, we got a little dry rot in the front tires. And I said, okay, son, that's okay. Don't put any tires on it. Now, keep in mind, the semi tires are like $400 a piece, so I'm a little cheap.
And this is his son telling his dad to do this.
Yeah, okay. He is.
I don't know. I got an idea where this is going, but go ahead.
He sells thousands of tires, our son does. And I get up there, and I get out of the truck, and I'm blowing and going. I'm going uphill. This thing's got an M11. It's just, it's a monster. I get out, and you can see the air in the tire through these cracks. Holy Christ. And I called and chewed his butt like there's no, what do you mean? It's got weather cracks. My God. So I took the truck empty back to Tempe and had him put two new front tires on it and then drove it back to get my load.
Are you saying that he should have given you more information or you should have listened to your son like he listened to you? This is the transition between your children taking care of them.
Okay, Tom has just gone to the bathroom, and we don't have time. I know what he's saying. Here's the problem.
May I interrupt you?
Just a second. The fact is, it's different because Alan sells thousands of tires, okay? It's different than your mother.
Well,
go ahead.
You didn't listen.
Go ahead, Dee Dee.
You said good, better, et cetera. But do I have to buy Michelin?
No. I want to tell you something.
God.
Let me just tell you this. We sell the heck out of Toyo tires that are made in Atlanta, Georgia, by the way. That's it. So we sell the heck out of them because we find that – and I want to tell you something. Every car I own, including my daughters and my sons and our car rental cars and all the cars in our fleet and my mother and Renee's mother, they all have Toyos. They're cheaper than Michelin.
How do you spell that?
T-O-Y-O. And that's a car. That's the tire we have chosen. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Michelin. Here's why we're with Toyo. Number one, the rep treats us really good. And so on those marginal things, He errs on the customer side. Number two, I like the price. And number three, I like the tire. So I got to take her. Now, DD, stay there if you have more questions. If not, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Lines are wide open. Hour of 11 o'clock. We're going to be here for another hour. There's lines open, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, a car problem, if you have anything, I want to go back real quick, and I'm going to do this in a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to go back to Dee Dee's question. There's a couple things. Weather cracking is subjective to who's looking at it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Well, the guys that don't sell tires are more likely, and the question has to be this. If this was your mother's car, what would you tell your mother? Well, first of all, do you love your mother?
And then absolutely.
And then from that point on, you say, okay, well then, you know, what would you do? But I think, and I think you'll agree with me on this, Discount certainly is one of the tire companies that does that well, but so does S&S on the west side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check them out.
Family operation and all that kind of stuff. So she should look, she should just get some other opinions with respect to weather checking. It's not a blanket thing.
Now, the other thing on the weather checking, what I thought of is, does she park in a driveway where the sun comes down on the west side of the car and you only got two tires that are weather rotted and the other ones are fine?
Okay.
The other thing is date codes on the tire.
Well, right.
We need to talk about date codes like on motorhomes, for instance.
Right. Go ahead.
Whenever a motorhome comes in, which we have a lot of them, we'll look at the date code on the tire. Now, they look at the tires and they say the tread's fine, it looks good, we've never done anything with them. Well, they're 12 years old because they never drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we tell them, no matter what the tire looks like, you put a set of tires on it. That's it.
Okay, but where is the line?
The line in the sand?
Yeah.
According to Michelin, if it's over by one day, you're
over
done.
Over what?
Over the date code on the tire.
Okay, so, plus what?
Plus what? They didn't give a plus what.
No. The tire was born in 10. Okay, what's the line? What's the line that is it 2007? Oh, the car is it 2017? What's the time frame on an RV tire? I'll save you.
Save me.
There is none. There's a big fight going on right now because they want to kick passenger cars out at 10.
Ten years.
That's already a discount policy. They said the failure chances are just huge after 10 years. So Discount Tire won't even touch, patch, or do anything but replace a 10-year-old tire. Will not. It says on their website, we're not touching a 10-year-old tire.
Okay, let's go back to motorhomes.
5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem. The attorneys don't want an expiration date on the tire because they get to sue tire companies and garages all day long. You should have known this tire was bad. Oh, well, I didn't have the crystal ball that week. Blackwell had it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going on. So the attorneys say, we don't want any expiration on the tire.
Mm-hmm.
The tire companies go, no, we want an expiration date on the tire because we can sell lots more tires. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So we got the attorneys and the insurance companies that are fighting about this. The attorneys and the tire makers that are fighting about this. Now, commercial truck, you probably know this, I think you do, is the commercial guys will run 100,000 miles a year, so we're not concerned with the commercial guys. Besides, a lot of them have recaps anyway.
Well, you got steers. Yeah. The term for trucks is steers and drives.
Right.
So drive tires are, a lot of times we'll take the steers and put them in the back.
Yeah. Right. And you're right. Most everybody, the industry's kind of taking those lines and moving them around, but I'll tell you what we're doing. We're doing 5 to 7 on RVs, period. We're doing 10 years on passenger car, and then we're not touching them. The other day we had a guy come in, a lawyer, come in, and he had some G159 Goodyears, which is the biggest piece of shit in the whole wide world. And he had a full set in there, and he was a customer of mine. I said, you're not leaving without tires. If I have to put a full set of tires on your car, you're not leaving. Because his family and his mother and his father, all those people were riding in that motorhome. So he did buy a set of tires, but you know what we did on those Goodyears? we drilled 2-inch holes in the sidewall so those tires
they should
would
never,
never
be used
be
again.
They'll never be used again. Never.
And it's not really an expiration date on the tire. It's the date that the tire was made, just so people know that.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Not, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The date code.
Right.
Yeah, and you're right.
And
yeah.
The date code is oftentimes, we buy brand new tires, but by the time they go from the manufacturer to the warehouse to the distributor to the installer to the customer, you can have a tire that's a year and a half old by the time you get it.
Right, exactly.
So it's not something that we have that control over. We got a caller. Can we, and I think we covered Dee Dee's question because I didn't do a good job the first time. And Gil, tell us who's on the phone.
Dave is on the phone.
Dave, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hey, you old blunderbuss, you.
Sorry. Hey, did
is
we get Dave's personal
phone?
Dave's
in the West Valley.
Oh, Dave. Would you? I needed to talk to you, Dave. Can you give me your phone number?
And your email address?
Yeah.
And your home address? License plate number, driver's license number,
right.
The whole thing.
I'm just, if I can get his cell phone number, I'm going to say, this guy knows more about cars than anybody in the world. You call him directly. And that's what I was going
to
do. Anyway.
He wakes up late and he stays up late.
Okay.
Typically, like, takes phone calls around 2 a.m.
That's fine. Dave? Go, buddy, go.
Okay. I've got, I buy older cars.
Yep.
I've got a 97 Oldsmobile 88.
Okay.
Wonderful car, less than 120,000 miles on it.
Okay.
So it really was a Sun City car.
Okay.
And the automatic antenna failed.
Okay.
So my friend from church, who is a certified mechanic, went over and picked up an aftermarket antenna.
Okay.
And he installed it. Goes up and down perfectly when you shut the car off and turn it on. But I got no AM. I got FM, but I got no AM.
Well, Tom's going to tell you what's the matter with it. Tom, go right ahead.
The wire, the cable itself that goes from the antenna to the radio is disconnected or broken. It's got a separation. And you will not get, if the antenna's hooked up, an AM signal.
If an antenna's disconnected, you will not get an AM signal.
Correct.
But you'll get an
FM signal. Correct.
But not the AM. So somewhere along the line, he did something wrong.
So there is a... Is this something that came on the aftermarket antenna and he attaches it to the existing coaxial?
No, it's just a coax cable that probably wasn't attached to the antenna itself. The answer to your question will be answered once we fix the thing. But the antenna, I think the mast comes with the fishing line inside of it.
Well, yeah, the line comes in, so the antenna goes up and down.
Exactly.
But it's already got a coax cable that comes off of the antenna that it plugs into the original radio and or... Some vehicles have the cable that comes from the radio out to where a connection would be at or underneath the hood or underneath the fender, and you plug it in and you're ready to go.
Underneath the rear right fender in the trunk.
Okay, well, we know that. The bottom line is that you gave us great symptoms, no AM. Well, it's an antenna problem, so somebody has to go back in there and figure that out. But what I think the mast is what he replaced with the fishing line. And, folks, let me explain that. Think of a fishing pole. Okay, so we have fishing line that's about the size of spaghetti, but it's flexible.
Yeah, yeah.
And this fishing line goes in the mast of the antenna. So when we wind it up, the antenna collapses. And when we turn the crank the other way on the fishing pole, the antenna goes up. Mm. So for those kinds of people, part of their maintenance that nobody ever does except us old guys is to take some WD-40, extend the antenna,
and spray it down at the bottom of the and soak the inside where the antenna goes down into the right by the tree, the lowest part of the antenna.
Right.
Yeah.
So
all
of that is normally happened because if you have big, huge bugs hanging off your antenna, when the antenna goes to collapse, it's not exactly a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that anymore, the fishing line stuff. But anyway, Dave, somebody has to go in and fix it, buddy. We've done what we could.
He's trying to figure out what he needs to do. That's why I'm calling you guys.
Well, you tell him this. Tell your certified mechanic son that I had AM FM before you started this, and now I don't have AM, so you need to go in there and figure that out.
Well, that's what we've had that discussion already.
Okay. Well, if he's a certified mechanic, Dave, we'll take his certification away. Because if he can't, on a 1 to 10 scale, what's this, Thomas?
This is a 10.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It's a 1. It's a 1.
On a 1 to 10 scale, it's a 1.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know.
Oh, it's the other way.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought 1 was the best.
No. 1 is the easiest, and 10 is the most difficult. Oh, gosh almighty, where have
what
you been
all
your life?
What skill are you using?
Yeah. Hey, okay, let me
I learned from the best. You said it earlier.
All right.
I didn't know how to do this until I got here this morning, yeah. So we're trying.
Okay, all right. Nevertheless, Dave, good luck to you, buddy, and thank you very much for your call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we've got another caller, Gil. Who can we talk to?
That would be Doug.
Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Oh, good morning, Mark. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have an 06 Dodge Ram Big Horn with a Hemi. The question I have is the fuel filter. I see a lot of Rams on the road around here. I've heard that in order to change the fuel filter, you have to drop the tank. Is that what your experience has been?
I don't know, and neither does Tom. Tom, if this was a tough son of a gun, if this wasn't some YouTube thing that somebody put on the internet, we would have heard about it by now. We mm-hmm. would know that a fuel filter, instead of being a $30 labor charge, would be hundreds of dollars labor charge. So we're unclear, but I'll tell you what I do have for you.
I have not heard of this. I haven't gotten any information. Nobody's come to us in the shop and said, hey, don't. Dodge has to have the tank pulled down.
Right.
There are some vehicles out there, though, but I don't think Dodge is one of them.
But there's symptoms associated with it. So if we have this in-tank fuel filter, then it's going to run lean. All of a sudden, we're going to have O2 codes, and it's going to have a lot of power.
Run out of power, yeah.
So at 60, it'll do 60, but not 62. So my answer to you is this. Do you have a pencil handy?
Yes.
Okay. Write down this number. Tom, give me your number. Not your cell phone, your shop. Give me your number.
It's 602-315. No. 602-992-5478. Give us a call. Let's talk some more about it.
And what Tom's going to do for you is he's going to you give him the year, make, and model of your truck exactly like you did to us. He'll look up the labor on, and we'll know exactly. If this thing pays 1.7 hours, then he's right. It's a booger.
Right.
But if it's a 3/10 of an hour, he's wrong.
Correct.
Okay. It's not likely they're going to put the fuel filter someplace really hard. Now, on a diesel, that's altogether
different. That's a whole different
deal. You said it was a Hemi, so we know it's a gas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're talking about the Ram diesel, because that's a $125 kick. The filter and the labor is very expensive. So I don't know that the Hemi's that way.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, thank you, Doug. Thank you very much. Automatic Transmission Exchange is in Phoenix. Phil's been around. He actually knows Moses and the guy in the Ark. What's his name?
It's
Noah.
Called Noah.
Noah in the Ark. Phil's been working on transmissions for a long time. He knows transmissions. He's been around since the Power Glide, which was a two-speed transmission, all the way up to this electronic Skies that have 5 and 6 speeds that shift with an electronic solenoid, and the computer controls the load. So if you need anything from a service to having somebody drive your car to a small leak, or if you've got a significant problem, then if you live in Phoenix, Automatic Transmission Exchange on 40th Street in Washington. If you've gone up and down Washington anytime in the last 40 years, you've seen the sign for Automatic Transmission. We'll be back right after this. Twenty minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and let me tell you real quick about Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Tom, this guy is an expert when it comes to diagnostic. Now, there's lots of guys in the valley, but Bob from Larry Harker's, I give him stuff where I don't even want to touch it sometimes. You know, I'm driving my Dodge down the road, and if I turn on the air conditioning and pass gas at the same time, then the car quits. And you're going, okay, who needs to fix? But I send him those tough ones, and he pulls a rabbit out of his hat every single time. Now, Harker's does everything from oil changes on, but Bob runs the shop, and Ellen, his wife, runs the front counter. So if you live near 38th Avenue and Indian School, he's really good at diagnostic, and he's got a big window right there because I've got nobody north or south of him, east or west of him, for many, many miles, and he is the guy for the west side as far as diagnostic is concerned. So that's Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, auto electrical work brakes, auto emissions vehicles. vehicle maintenance, his oil changes, foreign and domestic, makes no difference. If you go into Bob, you wave that red flag in front of him, and you say, I've got a problem that nobody else can fix, and I was told that you might be able to fix it. And that's when you put on your Superman cape and go for it. So let's go to the phone. Corey, you're up next. Corey, how can I help you?
Yeah, well, I doubt you can, but I'll give you a shot. I was given a 2010 Rogue Nissan and drove it from Tucson to Grand Gallant and came up to Phoenix. Anyhow, two things that I had done. One, I had the AC compressor replaced.
Okay.
It died on the way up here.
Okay.
And the speaker in the passenger side front door.
Okay.
Was making noise because cold was blown, and I had the guy cut the wire to it because I like my sound coming from the back.
Okay.
But I had to get that taken out because the speaker itself was rambling.
Okay.
Anyhow, since I had that stuff done, the at that time, the light for the airbags came on, that it's not working.
Okay. Well, somebody has to go in on the airbag system and find out what's not talking to the airbag module and the computer. So we have to go in and we have to say to the computer, what burr is under your saddle? And it says, I've lost contact with the clock spring. I've lost contact with the passenger seat sensor or the driver's seat sensor. Or I've lost contact with the airbags in the A pillars or the B pillars. All
seat
that
belt.
Kind of seat belt way. I've lost contact with the seat belt latch. So that's what really has to happen. Now, no one knows if it's related to all the stuff you've had, clipping wires and disabling speakers. But in time, and that's something you say to them, we clip the tires inside the door, wires inside the door. We need to know that because there may be something inside there. But if we look at our wiring diagrams and no part, nothing through the door harness has to do with the airbags, we're probably not going to go into that door panel, right?
Correct.
So, and then if somebody flipped the seat up to do some work underneath it.
And we had one of these the other day.
And they didn't plug back in the module.
And there was an amplifier installed underneath the driver's seat at a stereo shop.
And they drilled through it.
Customer takes the vehicle, is driving it down the road a short period of time later, and the left side B-pillar airbag blows up, bruises the guy on the side of the cheek, the arm, and the shoulder, all because of a screw and an amplifier being installed.
Wow.
Do you know who that person was? That was my son, Dylan.
Oh.
That it happened to?
Yeah, that it happened to.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean,
who put
anybody
the stereo in?
Huh? The stereo shop that went down the street?
Okay, well, listen.
I got
some advice for Dylan. You ready?
Don't even go there.
The eagle, the beaver, the hawk, the snake. Yeah, nobody has a snake for their, their law firm. But anyway, that's what. Have Dylan call me. And I'll set him up with the eagle, the beaver.
What about me?
Oh, well, you haven't had an airbag deploy, and when you do, you have a broken arm, a broken shoulder, your ear doesn't work, your eye.
Mark.
Okay, well, that's what they do.
I know, but that's not right.
I know. He knows I'm teasing.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, Corey, it's easy. We just got to find out what's it not talking to, and it's going to be something that's pretty easy for us to find. I'm thinking somewhere between $50 and $125 to diagnose that, and I'm guessing, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're right.
Okay.
We're right.
So anyway, Corey, that's it. But thank you very much for calling, and good luck with your Rogue. How do you spell Rogue? I got to write it down.
R-O-G-U-E.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thanks. Airbag light.
And you're a car guy, right?
Yeah. He's not an English major.
I wasn't in the spelling bee. All righty, Gil, who's next, buddy?
Dan,
good morning to you. Tell us what you got. Thank you.
Hey, I've got an 06 F-150. I know you're sorry. And air conditioning. Compressor was starting to go out on it. We got the whole thing replaced before it grenaded. The clutch was starting to go out on it. The guy that did the work, I've trusted and has done a great job for me for many years. But I've got a problem with it. In town, idling, moving around, the thing will freeze you out. You get on the highway, slowly but surely, there's a declining spiral to the point where the thing freezes up.
Okay.
I was able to stop and look underneath the hood. The controls at the firewall were a block of ice. I was okay. It's been doing that ever since. We've been trying to see what's caused it. Put posts on it or the gauges on it. Everything looks good.
Okay.
Or if you might be able to shed light on it.
Okay, go.
When the air conditioning unit was installed, they put a component on called an accumulator. And on that accumulator,
maybe they put it on.
Okay, but let's just assume that they did for the benefit of the shop. There's a low pressure switch that when you lose refrigerant out of the system, it shuts the compressor off so it doesn't burn the compressor up, i.e., no fluid in it. If that you can adjust it, that switch, or bypass it, so that no matter what happens, the compressor will always run. When it runs all the time and it's full of refrigerant, it's going to freeze up the system, and you could have snow coming out of the dash.
And there's a lot of other thing. I don't know if this has got an orifice tube or an expansion valve. I think it's got an orifice tube.
That's got an orifice tube.
Yeah, and the orifice tube.
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. Did the old compressor die a violent death?
No, I was able to get it replaced before it grenaded.
Okay.
Such was going, and we got it before that happened.
All righty. Well, I think that we should go in, suck the Freon out of it, save it, clean it, put it back in. But I think the orifice tube would be a good one. Now, here's the key. Where does the ice start and stop? Because if it starts and stops at the orifice tube, then we've got the orifice tube plugged up. Because it's supposed to meter the flow of refrigerant through the evaporator, which is behind the glove box. But
replace that filter in the orifice tube.
Okay.
And when he put the new air compressor in, and I even saw that, and there was a little bit of sputs in it when he took the old one out, but he put a new one in, and
1 minute.
I'll have him check and see if the ice does start to form at that point. But it's hard to say because it was a block of ice by the time I found it when it first started happening.
Okay, well, the ice is an indication that we have a blockage. So we're going to meter the flow of refrigerant, cold refrigerant, through the evaporator. And so we're going to meter the backside of it. So we're going to tend cold Freon through the evaporator, and then if it gets too cold, we open up the door, let some refrigerant through, and if it gets too hot, then we close the door and bring it back up. So one way or another, really, this is something that he gave you. So the diagnostic process should be under warranty, and I'm sure you said you've done business with him for a long time.
Oh, it will be under warranty. We're being very patient with it.
Okay,
we got a problem. Let's back into it and see if we can find out what it is.
The possibility always is that there's 1 in 10 chance that it isn't anything to do with his, but he still has to identify it before he can say it's not my problem. He has to identify it. Thank you very much for calling 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Tom Blackwell from Blackwell Automotive sitting next to me. Polly, his wife. Renee, my wife. And the girls are supposed to keep us in line, but are not doing a very good job. So I think that this is the last time that they'll visit with us.
We need to keep all... I can't be restrained.
Yeah.
Yes,
and he keeps firing me, and I keep coming back.
Yeah,
so I don't
that's
know.
The truth.
Whatever.
Anyway, real quick, let's get S&S Tire. We talked about S&S Tire a little earlier.
Yeah.
And S&S has shops in Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. Three places. I've been around S&S for 20 or 30 years, and it's the dad who's passed it on to the sons. Mm-hmm. And those guys are the millennium kind of guys where they're starting new stuff, starting new policies, and frankly, that's a good thing because mm-hmm. we're finding that out with our kids. They're making some changes that have produced fruit. So if you're in Peoria, Surprise, or Goodyear, not only do they have a very comprehensive set of tires, but they can give you the good, better, best numbers. But they have tires from wheelbarrows to tractors and everything in between. So if your wife drives a John Deere, then you can get tractor tires there. That's what I ought to buy you is a big tractor tire. So that one,
yeah.
Big John Deere, so you can't run over anybody anymore. Or actually, so they can't run over you.
Might be worse, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, S&S Tire, they'll balance your tires. They do alignment, suspension work, oil changes, and everything in between. S&S Tires. Let's go to the phones. Ray, you're up first. How can I help you?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Interesting show. I just moved down here from Seattle, and I've been here a couple of weeks. And one of the obvious questions that I do have is that I live on the north end of Phoenix, and I need a competent shop that can do pretty much anything and everything. My wife has a 2001 Dodge Neon. I have a 2012, which is in great shape. Can you give me any suggestions?
Yeah, sure I can. Tell me, though, give me north, give me an, you know, give me a cross street.
Okay, 25th and Cactus would be the one.
25th Street or Avenue?
Avenue.
Okay. Well, I got Kurtz up at I-17 and Bell. I've got Action Auto Repair at I-17 in Deer Valley. I got Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway, a block or a mile south of Bell. So I've got that area pretty well covered. And with every shop, go in for an oil change and kind of just see how they... What you don't want to do is go in for an oil change and have them give you a laundry list of $2,000 worth of work that you need today. And none of the shops that I put on my list of best car repair shops, they don't do that. So,
yeah, all right.
So, Action. I'm sorry.
That sounds good. No, that sounds good, but I came here to get away from the rain, and I don't think I did quite right about now.
I understand.
Anyway, no, my wife's Neon has 150,000 miles on it, and she doesn't drive much more than 3,000, 4,000 miles a year, but still, occasionally she has a burp on it.
Okay. All right. No, that's perfect. Then let me give some of the women advice out there. When you go into the shop, no matter what it is, a dealer or an independent or a chain store, when they give you a list of stuff to do, you say to them numerous things. Oh, you know, would you show me in my owner's manual where it says that I need to flush my gas cap? Right?
Absolutely.
Or show me in it there that I need a transmission service. And they say, well, I can't. Well, that's because it's a 100,000-mile service, and they're trying to sell it to you for 30.
Exactly.
30.
Right.
So then you say, show me. Then the second thing you say is what symptom are you going to fix with replacing my lower control arm bushings? Oh, well, they're just cracked. Well, what symptom do they have? Well, a clunk when you stop and a clunk when you go. I don't have those symptoms. So what symptom are you going to repair with your suggested repair? What symptom are you going to eliminate that I have now? That's a killer question.
When, especially, in that scenario, and you're standing at the counter and you ask a question, everybody that has anything to do with that facility isn't going to flinch, they're not going to get tight, and they're not going to look like you just put them on the spot. Mm-hmm. They need to say, no problem, let me explain this to you. This is why it needs this. In fact, come on out. Let's go in the shop and look.
But... And I'm going to defend the dealers, which I rarely do. It's a different organization. They've got people that are service writers that don't have technical, and it's not like you're going to pull the Ford guy or the Chevy guy or the Honda guy from a bay that's a quarter of a mile away and have him come up. The independents can do that because we've got a smaller facility. But you're right. And then last is write down what you've got, because my husband, he's just a – write down what I need – And give me all the pricing and stuff like that. And then write your name and give me your phone number. Mm-hmm. And they ain't going to write their name, and they're not going to give you that list if there's a bunch of BS on that list. And that goes for independents and dealers as well.
Cross boards. Yeah.
All righty. Let's go to Nick. Nick, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning, sir. Two comments. Your wife said recently how she beat you back to Phoenix from Payson, and she puts a rabbit out in front.
Yes.
Wait until a rabbit passes. My dad taught me this one years ago. We used to call him therapy.
All I can tell you is from the ranch up north to our house, I've never been able to beat about a minute and 50 or an hour and 50 seconds. And I clocked you at 1 hour and 32 minutes. And of course, she has an excuse. Well, there was no traffic.
That's right. I go early in the morning.
Yeah, but that's not what you say. Oh. You say you chased the rabbit. So you let
if
somebody pass
hurry.
You doing 95, and then you tuck your tail in behind him. And I want to tell you, though, the other day I was talking to a highway patrolman. This is a true story. You know who I was talking to.
Okay.
Daryl or the other guy.
Yeah.
And he says, we rarely pick the first guy. He says, by the time you pull out on the highway, you're going to get the last guy.
Sure.
And he says, you can't get the first one because there's a train behind him, but we're going to get the last one. So if you're chasing the rabbit and there's one in front and you're the only rabbit, you're going to get it, not him.
Okay.
All right.
Keep that
Thank
in
you,
mind.
Nick. Thank you very much. I'll pay you later.
Wait.
Okay.
Okay. I've had a couple of Dodge trucks and Suburbans with the fuel pump and the tank, and there's always a filter in there, like a screen, before it pumps, you know, the fuel up. And my Suburban had an inline fuel filter.
Uh-huh.
And I took it off. I bought a replacement. I took it off. I sawed the old one in half. There was nothing in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an empty can.
You're right. You're right. Here's how us old guys take care of the filter inside the tank. It's called the pickup screen. The pickup tube is the screen. All right, don't tell anybody this, Nick, okay? Don't tell anybody this.
Okay.
You got to find the line coming out of the fuel pump. You grab some shop air. You take the gas cap off, and you had one of your young technicians hold a bunch of rags over the filler neck. And then you hit the air hose with about 120 pounds. You're going to hear a thump. And then you go, oh, that thing came off pretty easy. Now, you got another filter. We don't need that stupid thing in the tank. But you got another filter. But we just pop it off with air. But you have to make sure you do that right, because if you leave the gas can on, you're going to probably blow up the tank. Then if you don't take the cap off and you don't cover it, you're going to have somebody covered in gasoline.
If you don't like somebody, just have them.
Oh,
Tom. You don't want to have their face look at it. Just back up
just
to it.
Just a minute, Tom. Tom, we're not going there. We're not going there. But and now, here's the other question. Let me follow this up. How many years you been in business?
35.
All right, I'm at 39. How many socks in the tank have you found to be the problem that fixed something?
0.0001.
Okay, and me too. I've maybe had in 39 years three or four.
Yeah.
Three or four where the sock was the problem, and usually it's because of contamination. The neighborhood kids put a bunch of dirt in your tank, blah, 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 blah. So that happens a lot. Anyway, Nick, thank you very much for reminding me that my wife was chasing the rabbit, because I needed to tell her that that might not be a good idea. But, Nick, if you know any highway patrolmen between Payson and Phoenix, you might have her look out for a charcoal-colored edge.
Funny.
And
I used to, but they retired.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Nick. Hey, we got open lines available, 602-508-0960. There's five of them. You can grab one if you want. We'll be back. Well, it's 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock, I should say.
Yep.
And we're just about done with the show, but we're going to get to the callers right now. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate runs Strictly Diesel, and he's a diehard diesel service repair and parts guy. He works on foreign domestic light diesel trucks, so they don't work on the big dogs, light diesel trucks. And that means Chevy, Ford, Dodge, and probably some Isuzus and stuff that. But we're talking about light-duty trucks. So if you're up in that area and you need some diesel guys to look at your diesel, then I want to strongly suggest that Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, would be a great place I would stop if I were you. Let's go to the phone. Steve, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, good morning. Mom's got a 99 Chevy Malibu, 77,000 miles. She's been told she needs struts and tie rod ends. Now, tie rod ends is a no-brainer. I don't think she definitely doesn't need that. But I was curious, what would the labor be for replacing struts on a 99 Chevy Malibu LS?
I don't think they have struts.
Or if you had any idea.
You know, I don't think they have struts.
Yeah, I don't think they have struts. Struts came out with front-wheel drives. That's where we really started seeing struts was front-wheel drives. But if you're talking shock absorbers, a full set of shocks, depending on the quality of the shocks, is $200 to $300. I would
on the labor, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay. if this car has struts, and if they're going to be about across the board on most every car with an alignment, about $400. $450.
Is that the labor you're talking about?
Just the labor.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just the labor.
And I'm gonna because
we're in general. You know, maybe we're in that line of 325 to 450.
No. And that's better. That's better because we got to cover everybody.
Got a range.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You need to verify if it's struts. I could be wrong, and I've been wrong before because my wife will testify to that. But I'm pretty sure a 99 Malibu is a rear wheel drive. I'm pretty sure that thing doesn't have struts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure we're talking about money. Row or whatever.
Yeah,
shock
this
absorbers.
Is a delayed reaction, but I'm never wrong. My wife will tell you that.
Okay, all right. Anyway, that's and you know, really, that's going to be one of those things.
Wait a minute. Yeah, we forgot
that. Is that we know what that bell is, right?
Wait a minute. I got to say something before you ring the bell.
No, it was Tom that was saying it.
Oh, fine.
I got the bell.
And I don't really know. Really and truly, she's got 77,000 miles on it. Would we put shocks on that? Even if they were bleeding blood.
And 77,000 miles, that car, obviously with mileage, hasn't been driven very much per year.
And they're in the absence of tire wear, now we know your mom's not going down the freeway at 100 miles an hour, right?
She doesn't do the freeway.
Okay. All right. So then, I'm not quite sure I'd spend $200 or $300.
Does she do 100 miles an hour on the side streets?
That's a different story.
Anyway, I think I'd get a second opinion and get a second bid if you want to do it. But unless you have a reason, I'm not quite sure if my mother would have that. I'm not quite sure. Even if I costed her out the part, I'm not quite sure.
Exactly. We just put a new set of four tires on just because the other ones were dry rot issue.
Uh huh.
So,
all righty,
she's good to go. Appreciate your help.
You betcha, Steve. Bye. Thank you very
much. Take care, Steve.
Ivory, you're up next. Ivory, how can I help you?
Good morning. I don't know if this is up your guys' alley, but I've got an old tractor, farm tractor. Mm-hmm. That's a gravity feed tank on it, gas tank, and I removed it to replace some gauges and put it back. There's a bowl underneath that did collect some rust and stuff when I put it back from just handling it. Now, the tractor wasn't starting, so we placed the coil, the condenser, the points, and the plugs, and it ran fine. But now it seems like it starts right up, runs great for 3 or 4 seconds, then it completely stops.
Okay.
And I checked the fuel lines. I unhooked them and go to the carburetor and see that there's fuel coming out, and there's a couple of small screws you can take off, and I saw fuel coming out of those too, so I figured it's getting fuel. But now I don't know what to do, if it could be a condenser or what.
Okay.
It'll only run for 3 or 4 seconds. Runs great, or 4 seconds, then just slowly cuts off.
All right. Well, the real question is spark or fuel. That's the real question.
Yeah.
We got no choice there. Mm-hmm. So why don't you get a propane can, and mm-hmm. when it gets running, I want you to open up the propane valve a little bit and stick it right there in that one- or two-barrel carburetor you got on your tractor. And if it runs for a long time, it's a fuel delivery problem. But if it still dies, then it's not fuel. So, yes, a condenser's job is to keep the points from arcing, and it's keep the points to burn nice. If you put points in it, you should have put a condenser in it, but you can look at the points.
We did.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, that was why it wouldn't run before, was the condenser. We got a bad condenser, and we put another one in, troubleshooting it. Now, then it started up and ran fine, but then all of a sudden, after half a day of running, it would, like I said, start shutting off.
Okay, but did you put points in it with the condenser?
Yes.
Okay.
Is the ground wire that goes from the side of the distributor case to the breaker plate, is it in there?
Yeah, I took an alligator clamp and went from the battery straight to the positive side of the coil to see if that was a problem, and it wasn't. It still would stop.
Well, we're still to spark and fuel. I mean, that's what we have to determine. And spark is going to be pretty simple. Points, condenser, distributor cap, and coil. I mean, that's all.
That's it.
Or the ignition switch.
Could be,
whatever.
But he eliminated that because he went from the battery to the hot side of the coil.
Okay, but it could have a resistor in it. That old tractor, I don't think we're going to. Is it a 6-volt or 12-volt system?
It's a 6-volt.
Okay. I'm not quite sure we'd have a resistor, but it could. It could have a resistor somewhere. That's going to drop the voltage to 8 or 9 volts to the ignition.
No, if it's a 6-volt, it's going to drop it down.
Oh, okay, all
so
right,
you're back.
Right.
Come on, get on the picture here.
You're right. Six. It's going to be less than six. But spark and fuel. And the answer, to be honest with you, is us gray haired guys wouldn't be afraid of that tractor at all. If you could take it to a shop, then see everything that has points and condenser, everything that has a computer, everything that has fuel injection is we understand the fundamentals. And so it's not going to be that hard. But we know that the distributor is the trigger for the points, and the points open and close the coil, and the coil provides spark. So this could be a bad coil wire for all we know. So
don't know.
I'm at a Napa right now to buy some parts, and I was going to get another condenser because that went bad before. So I'll do that, and then I'll take the propane and see if that works.
Okay.
I did hook the gauges that I put in. I had to take the tank out to get to them. But the one gauge that goes to the water temperature, not being a mechanic, I didn't know, and I cut it because it was too hard to get to, and I figured, well, I'll just not have a temperature gauge, and the oil one I had to cut too, so I cut those and shut them off.
Okay.
And I don't think that would have been the problem, but
wait a minute.
Is that tractor a positive ground?
Oh, boy, you got me on that.
You need to check to see if the positive battery cable is going to the ground on the motor, because when you put those gauges in, if you wired them as a negative ground, that could be an issue.
Well, not only that, is the old tractors sometimes had a needle on that would hit and ground the ignition system
yep.
when they overheated and on the low side of the oil pressure.
Right.
So
Murphy gauge is what they were called.
Okay, thank you for that, because I didn't know that. But the Murphy gauges would prevent you from overheating and running out of oil. That could be something as
it
well,
could be.
Depending
could be.
On that. Again, though, it's spark and fuel. So it's
got back to that. Yeah. Back to
we're
that.
Back to that. So anyway, where do you live? Where do you live?
I live in up by Anthem.
Okay. Give me some cross streets.
Would be New River Road and
I-17. Okay. Well, I know Kurt's down there at I-17 had fixed that. I mean, but obviously you're not going to drive it down the I-17, but if it's a tractor that fits on a trailer and you decide to take it someplace, then my advice to you would be Kurt's at I-17 in Bell, and tell those two young whippersnappers that work there, Eric and Jeff, that Mark Salem said they don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this.
Okay.
All right.
Throw the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Lay down the gauntlet.
Well, I certainly appreciate your help.
All right.
I'll give them a try.
All right. Thank you very much, Ivory. Thank you. Well, anyway.
We talked about diagnosis early in the show. Somebody called in.
Okay.
Right? A lot of people do.
Right.
So we have a vehicle come in like you have. The strange ones.
Okay.
Customer calls up and says, every time I come to a stop, my car's idling, a newer car, at 3,000 RPM. I've had it to two shops, and they can't fix it. I have to shut the car off, start it up in neutral, put it into drive, and take off from every stoplight. Mm-hmm. So they bring it in, and we're looking at it, and we fixed it. And we're trying to figure out how to bill the customer for removing the floor mat off the top of the gas pedal
yeah.
to the bottom of the gas pedal.
Oh, my God.
Third shop.
Well, I know shops that would charge $300 for that.
Yeah.
And then I know shops that would no charge that. Now,
what about removing rice from trunks?
No. Let's get back to the same one. Here's the issue. If she's a longtime customer, it ain't going to cost her a dime
of
at
course.
Most good shops. If she walked in and took up 31 minutes of my time at the front counter telling me everything that she's ever put in that car because that's what her husband told her to do, then I'm going to charge her. So it really, there's a big picture there. What did you charge her?
Oh, we didn't charge anything for her.
Okay, all right. Was she an existing customer or a brand new one?
Brand new.
Okay, well, then that's fine. That's
brand
fine.
New.
I'm not
But
gonna...
it's just, it's one of the, I know we've all had strange ones
yeah.
or odd ones or whatever. And
that's pretty odd.
Not that that's necessarily the most odd, but.
No, all
it's
of
something
us,
to talk about.
Yeah, all
yeah.
of us have had animals inside cars. All of us have had people who certified mechanics that work on their car.
The YouTube University guy?
Yeah. And let me tell you my thought on that. Let me ask you this question. You got some big technicians, and what do they make? Give me a range. What do they take home at an annual basis?
On an annual basis,
yeah.
take home 75.
Plus or minus?
Plus or minus.
Okay. I'm saying $50,000 to $100,000 a good tech is making at our shops.
Mm-hmm.
$50,000 to $100,000. There's no reason to be working out of your garage at the neighborhood. If you were that good, you'd be working for guys like you and me and a lot of other guys. So the YouTube guys drive me crazy because people spend their money guessing on a car repair based on somebody they've never met before who actually is somebody who spent the last 20 years in prison, and he's trying to help them fix their car from Fresno, California.
You know, you just mentioned something about charging for repair, one,
okay.
or education, big guys, big money.
Okay.
People are taking in a good shop is not going to take your money to educate.
1 minute.
Your customer. I mean, your customer's dollars. We're not going to spend your money to educate our guys.
Well, that's on the job training. We don't do that.
Right. That's a guy that makes that kind of money.
Right.
Will not do that to you.
And on the job training is something we got already. We've already been around the block.
Mm-hmm.
We already know. And we know how to talk, and we know how to get information from them. So it's a matter of communication. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
I like men and women customers, but the women, you can get them to mimic the noise in the lobby. You can.
They're not embarrassed.
And men, I say to the men, there's three answers to my question. Yes, no, or I don't know. I never say that to a woman because she knows how to say I don't know.
Right.
So it's just easier. There's a lot of guys that want to take their wife's car in, but sometimes the person that drives it is the predominant person.
He'll bring the car in first, and then he hands it off to her because he trusts you.
That's fine.
Yep.
The driver is the most important part. Mark at MarkSalem.com. Mark at MarkSalem.com. We'll see you next Saturday right here from 10 to noon.